should walk in the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for I place my trust in you. I place my faith in you, O Lord. I place my faith in you, O Lord. And though I should walk in the valley of death, I will I place my life in you, O Lord. I place my life in you, O Lord. And though I should walk in the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for I place my life in you. I place my faith in you.
Good morning and welcome. This is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm so happy to be here. And welcome, France, my friend France.
Hi.
From St. Catharines.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We have Amanda, my little sister.
Hi.
Hello. And maybe co-host for today. We'll see.
Maybe.
Well, guest maybe. Co-host. And we have Father Peter. Thank
Hi.
You, Father.
Hi, everybody.
From St. Francis of Assisi Church in Green Lawn. He's the pastor. And we just want to welcome you today. And just a little reminder, our call-in number is 631-888-8811. If you would like to call in, we greatly appreciate your questions, comments, anything about today. We're going to be talking about a lot of great topics and ideas, so anything is welcome. And our text-in number is 516-784-6081. Again, it's 516-784-6081. Any comments you want to say, how we're doing, anything is greatly appreciated. And if you would like to donate as well, if you feel inspired to, you can reach out to us by that number. And for more information, you could also go to our website at listen-up.net. And we have all the videos and pictures and information for you. And okay, so today we're just going to start our topic for today. Father Peter, would you like to just mention a little bit our topic for today?
Well, one of our main things we want to do, and we have lots of good reasons for trying to do it now, is to focus a little bit on the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of reconciliation or confession. It's got a couple of names, so it obviously has some different sides to it, and every Catholic has some experience of it, but since in recent years, many Catholics have more or less dropped out of active use of the sacrament, it's a good thing to think about it now. Now, actually, there's two points that make it very relevant right now. A week from Monday, we're going to have throughout Long Island the island-wide, diocesan-wide Day of Penance. Mm-hmm. And so our bishop is asking that each parish provide at least one priest hearing confessions between the hours of 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. So I've already arranged to have a retired priest there for part of that time, and I'll, of course, be there for a good chunk of that time also. But getting ready for that diocesan-wide Day of Penance, which is a new thing, a new initiative to try to put a confession back on everybody's database, and we decided to do this. And also, it's very wonderful that with our new bishop, Bishop Barris is also emphasizing, you know, the new evangelization. So here, as we try to think about the sacraments, you know, we're really evangelizing folks who were once evangelized but now need to have a refreshment. So we're going to talk about the sacrament of penance. It also ties into Easter. You know, when did Jesus institute? They talk about the sacraments as things that Jesus instituted. When he appeared to his apostles, he said, they were frightened, but he said, peace be with you. And then he breathed on them, it says in St. John's Gospel, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So John's Gospel doesn't have the story of Pentecost as such coming down in tongues of flame, but it has this gift of the Spirit. And then what does Jesus say? Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. And the Catholic Church has always looked upon that as one of the foundational texts for the sacrament of penance. So we're going to be doing a lot on that this morning, plus a lot of other things. So back to you, Katerina.
Thank you. So, Father, I had a question. So why do we go to confession? Why should we go to confession? And I know you mentioned right now in the text from the scripture that the Lord spoke to the apostles, and that was the institution of confession through priests and through his apostles, whose sins you forgiven are forgiven. And just that's a great reminder in our daily life as well to forgive with God's grace, and to love one another, even though it's hard, with his grace. So do you have any thoughts about that, Father?
Well, why should we go to confession? Well, you know, there's the other angle on it. I mean, many Christians of other churches say, I can go directly to God. And it's true, we do have a direct relationship with God, but also God has given us a church, all right? The church helps us pray. The church also helps us not get too subjective in our thinking about God. In other words, there's a tendency to make God to be someone who agrees with us all the time, someone that we can get along with all the time. Okay, so that the idea of it, of course, is that in the Old Testament, the people made idols, but the idea of God not wanting an idol made for him was that people would look to him directly and not create something in their own image. In other words, make God out to be too cozy. God who sort of, you know, goes along with our kind of thinking. Mm-hmm. So when we have confession, we have the priest representing the church, representing the people of God, helping us stay on track so that we're really worshiping and focusing on the real, the one, the true God, and always correcting our own thinking about him. So the idea is that confession is meant to be a help, you know, not something that's another burden put on us. Yeah. I mean, in the old days, sometimes Protestants would say that, well, the Catholics have it tough because they have to, you know, eat fish on Friday and they have to go to confession. Well, actually, we should look upon it as Catholics. It's a joy. It's a gift to go to confession. Mm-hmm. All right, and I'll get into the idea of the gift, too, when we think about other things. But basically, the idea of confession is because God gave us a church to keep us all journeying together. Remember, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people wandered in the desert, but they wandered together. Yeah. They work together. He purified them. So we're journeying toward him, but they're doing it together. And in this instance, with the priest, with the individual person. And, of course, there's lots of different other aspects, worries people have. Well, will the priest know me? Will the priest think less of me if I go to confession? I'm active in the parish. You know, will he speak to me as warmly as once he knows what a sinner I am? Of course he will. Of course he will. He's glad he's glad that you came to confession. He's glad that you're trying to be honest with yourself. You know, and he's going to treat you better, okay? Not worse, okay? Mm-hmm. Anyway, go ahead, Katerina.
Yes, that just reminded me of the father in the prodigal son story. The son comes home and he did all these things, yes. And he says to himself, my father's is not going to love me. He's look what I did. But the father runs to him, embraces him, and gives him such a hug, is so happy to see him. And a lot of times in our things that we do wrong, we think God is not going to love us anymore. God doesn't, he's not going to look on us the same way. But it's not true. He's going to be that father that's going to run and give you a hug, and is just so happy to see you and thank you for coming and all those beautiful things. So thank you, Father, for that reminder. So my friend France, how can we start today? Would you just like to share a little bit about yourself and we could start how I met you, I guess, or wherever you would like to start.
Yeah, sure. I met Katharina through St. Catherine of Siena Parish, and I think that it was such a blessing that that I was in St. Catherine of Siena Parish. And I feel that local parishes are just an amazing little family unit that everybody can just join in. And I was actually there because my parents bought a house there, and I was in the military, going into the military at the time. And every free time that I would have, I would come back home, and that was one of the little places that I felt welcome to. You know, you get the little coffee shop, and you have that hominess, you have family, and St. Catherine Siena Parish was like that little joy in my life. And it was an amazing time for me because it was a time of reflection for me. I would go there, take a little break from my military duties, and I would go to St. Catherine. And I've told this to a lot of people that I would just be there with my sweatpants, jeans, and my Timberland boots, and I would just walk around the parish just trying to see, like, God, what is it that you want in my life? And because of that, you know, God slowly brought me back to the church through different people, different things. And I always cherish the fact that I had a loving family and who would always, you know, share with me what they're learning. If anybody who goes to church all the time, it's always a blessing to see that little CD, piles of CDs of Lighthouse Catholic media mm-hmm. on there. And, you know, my mom shared me, like, we were both in our journey towards God, and she would just give me, like, CDs from Scott Hahn, Matthew Kelly, and Paul J. Kim. It is a more recent one that I've listened to, and it's just amazing how different people, different walks of life, use Jesus. I don't want to say use in a way, but it's more like ask him to be in their life, and how great and how blossoming it is. And I think confession is one of those great things that is the genius of Catholicism today that nobody really knows about. Mm-hmm. So I thank Father Peter too for telling about that.
Yeah, if you don't mind, France, do you mind telling us a little bit about how you got into the military? And I know you were born in the Philippines. Always say this story. Do you mind sharing?
Well, one of my priests always says, my name is France, born mm-hmm. in the Philippines, who went to the U.S. and traveled all around the world. But I was a lost sheep. I was a prodigal son, definitely. And I felt that, you know, the military was a place where I could just go mm-hmm. and do something with my life. And it, in a sense, it did. And I'm very grateful for all the people in the military who's blessed me in that life, in that time in my life. But ever since even boot camp, where Sundays was like the time where you have your own time, I would travel in boot camp to church, you know, just to have that kind of space where I could have that freedom to get out from my daily life in boot camp. And I still have that rosary today, even in my work life, that they gave me. And I've traveled with it when I was stationed in South Carolina, upstate New York. I was on the USS Harry S. Truman. Please pray for the men and women who are out there protecting us and serving our country, and their families and their friends who are always there supporting them, because I know especially that that is a struggle, that is a cross that they're willing to bear for us. And definitely that was my one thing to lean on, was Jesus Christ through the hard times and going out to sea and thinking that nobody's there for me and everybody's like doing what they have to do. And you know, I'm so blessed that our military is very open to all types of religion, and I know for a fact that I would not be a person that I am today if it wasn't for the chaplains, the military chaplains that have gone out of their way to come and, you know, speak to us. And you know, and it was like that little version of little confessions. You know, those military chaplains would come down out of our daily busy duty days, and they would just be saying, "Hi, hello, how are you doing?" And I would find myself just talking to them. And I think those were, at some point in time, like a blessing that the Holy Spirit blessed upon us, that you can share it with somebody. And for them to just tell you that, you know, I know it's a struggle, and I know that you have a cross to bear, and you think that nobody understands you, but Jesus understands you, because you know his life story, and through his passion, he's gone through every emotional experience that you've gone through. So I think that is just the most amazing thing about confession.
Amen. Just that's such a blessing. Thank you so much for serving our country. And that's so true. We always have to keep our military in prayer. They are helping us keep us safe. And yes, that is true. And I know you mentioned before that St. Catherine's feels like a home for you, and you mentioned a coffee house, and I thought that would be a great opportunity for Father just to share a little bit about what is going on at St. Francis of Assisi Church. And there is going to be a coffee house for young adults and adults twice a month, starting up soon, just a place to hang out in the basement of the refurbished rectory. Yes.
That's really nice. You get free coffee, you can get hang out, and it's
they're gonna invite Christian bands too, I think, to try to come and just a place just
Oh, that's amazing. I think that is so great. Like it's hard for me to tune in into God, and I think music is a great help for that. I know that a lot of Matt Maher to me is amazing. Toby Mac,
yeah.
Mandisa too. And if you look at their life stories too, it's inspiring that people who are out there going through daily life. You know, sometimes one of the things that I always have problems with is that I go to church, I meet amazing people, I get great examples of how to walk in God's
way,
yeah. And then all of a sudden, you go out of church, and you're just like, okay, where is it? Where is God now? Like,
what do I do now?
you know, God tells you that you are the light, you are the salt of the earth.
Well, if you're a young adult, you come to the coffee house. That'd be
something. We're the salts of the... We can't put salt in the coffee, but we'll pretend our sugar packets is the salt, and salt we'll stir and be like, we're the coffee salt of...
Yeah, no. Like, I always appreciate every type of young adult, any young person that comes in my way, and I just like talking to them because I feel that they're such great examples. Even in the youth ministry, even in the faith formation programs, I would come in and I would think, oh, I'm an adult, I know everything and everything like that. And then, you know, those little bits of things that they would say to me would just be like, oh my gosh, what I don't know what to say to that. Like, and I pray about it, and I would always see that, you know, I would always come back to that story where Jesus always says that I want you to be children of God, and that there's always that in your heart that, you know, Jesus does speak to children, and he does use them to help you, you know, walk in the way of God. Like, one of the things that touches me all the time is my nieces are such an amazing blessing to me. And one day one of my nieces comes up to me and she was like, so if you were baptized in the Catholic Church, are you always a Catholic? And I'm just like, even if you like don't go, you know, to church all the time, and then you come back, and do you have to get baptized again? And I'm like, I have no idea. And the first thing I think of is like, okay, I'm going back to church. The first priest that I see, I'm going there. Yeah. So, Father Peter, that's a great question to ask you right now. It's like,
yes, that's true. The church and many of the historical Protestant churches baptize people only once, all right? Because we believe that in common with them, and of course this has been Catholic doctrine for centuries, that the sacrament of baptism bestows what we call a character, a special mark, you know, on the person, on the spiritual aspect, the soul of the person, so that it can never be completely undone. So if a person leaves the Catholic Church, even formally joins some other non-Christian religion, or even professes atheism or agnosticism publicly, when they repent of that, or when they change their mind, they return to the Catholic Church through the sacrament of penance, through confession. They don't have to be rebaptized. All right. So we would baptize a person if they came to us from another church that continually baptizes people. Some of the Pentecostal and some of the other groups have a distinction between water baptism and spirit baptism, and their theology is different. So we would rebaptize them into the Catholic Church. But generally speaking, you do not rebaptize. Okay, you bring them back through the sacrament of penance, which is really the way to do it. After all, the Bible doesn't have the situation where the apostle Jesus is never shown baptizing his apostles. Some of them may have received the baptism of John, all right, because they were immersed in his life and they experienced his death and his resurrection. That was the equivalent of their baptism. So Pentecost for them, they had their first communion at the Last Supper, and the Pentecost was their confirmation, and then they were ready to go. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So but then Jesus gave the commission to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So yes, that I hope that clarifies it a little bit.
Yes, like what I'm hearing is that even if you had doubts about, okay, what is it to be Catholic? What is it to be a Christian? Because all Catholics are Christians, no matter what anybody says. If you go to confession and you have a good confession, that you ask the Holy Spirit to come into you and help you to talk to Jesus, talk to God, you are back in church.
You're back in church. Once well, of course, you know, God never abandons us, so he's working continually. I mean, he was working with the prodigal son as soon as the guy got with the pigs and realized that, hey, this is a dead-end street. I got to break out of here. And he came back with impure motives or incomplete motives. He wasn't coming back out of love or sorrow that he had hurt his father so much. He's coming back in desperation. So the poor sinner oftentimes comes back in a kind of desperation. They've tried a lot, every other kind kind of thing.
Right.
You know, they've tried substance abuse. They've tried other relationships which were dead-ended. You know, they got themselves involved in situations where corruption was involved or one level. Well, they come back to confession. All right. They're wounded, too.
Yeah.
So hopefully, and this is, you know, what Pope Francis has been talking about in the Year of Mercy, that, you know, we really need to be sensitive to such, and try to find some even if the level of sorrow, the level of recommitment is very weak, to mm-hmm. find some way to embrace them and get them back in. Just like the prodigal son, God knows what was really going through his mind. You know, did he really want to stay there forever? But the father knew that he had to shower him with love.
Yeah.
You know, shower him and bring him back. So hopefully the priest would do that too. The priest would be warm and welcoming and the people would come back. There's been a lot of reasons that Catholics have stayed away. You know, a lot of different reasons over the last couple of generations.
Yeah.
You know, issues in marriage, issues in birth control, issues in very many things.
Yes.
But if we get a good renaissance in confession, we'll begin to get a renaissance in the church too. And so this is kind of very timely because the day of penance is a week from Monday.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we'll get, and you can go to another parish. That's the whole idea. See, we get a lot of people from a neighboring parish, okay, because they don't want to be known there. But I kind of know them now because they're regulars, at least for confession. I try not even to look at them.
Yeah.
I try just to take them as a voice. I don't even turn their way to get a silhouette or anything like that. I don't want to know that. I just want to be able to identify by the voice the person
mm-hmm.
and who they are, and they're coming from someplace else, and we do our best for them. But of course, it's the mercy of God that's really touching them, and the mercy of God that really makes the difference in the long run.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
I have a quick question for France. How many years have you been in the military?
I was in the military for 6 years.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And I went on one deployment on the USS Harry S. Truman, and I've gone to France and Dubai, Bahrain, and a little island in Crete, which I keep forgetting, like, was somebody... Somebody was the on island, that island.
The
on
island
Crete.
Of St. Paul sent Titus to Crete.
St. Paul sent
his friend and his disciple Titus to organize the church on the island of Crete, which is a beautiful little island, right?
Yeah,
not so little. A beautiful island in the Mediterranean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's a beautiful island. So.
So France went to France.
Yes. Yeah. France has been to France.
That's like such a funny mix-up, though.
Yeah. Why is your name France?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Because I was named after my grandfather's.
Mm-hmm.
My full name is France Diane, and I had the great blessing to be named after my grandfather's. I always say that I am definitely a complete surprise to my parents, you know, because, you know, Francisco Dionisio would have been my name if I was a boy, but they shortened it because I'm a girl.
Oh.
So,
but they stuck with France, no Francine,
well,
or Francesca,
no.
Or Francis, yeah, none of that.
None
just
of that.
France itself. Okay,
because she likes France, so it's both.
It is a really blessing, and actually, it was it's a great thing too, because during my times on deployment, I was having struggles with my faith. You know, like, I didn't know what God wanted from me. I was definitely not one of those. I was a cradle Catholic, like Dr. Scott Hahn would say. I'm Catholic, but I don't really do everything. I go to church on Sundays, but confession, not really. And we were actually doing a tour. Doing a tour in France, and one of the places that we went to was Avignon and Toulon, and one of the tours was actually the castle that the Catholic popes were in for, like, I think 200 years.
Not quite that long, but they were several generations, about 70 years or so.
70
yeah.
years. Yeah. Like, so it was like a long time. I was, thank you, Father Peter, for correcting me, because I'm very bad at that, those specific things.
Yeah, the history is tricky.
But it was So they went from Rome to France, and they stayed there, and they liked it. I would love it, too, because it was wine and cheese and chocolate and crepes. Everybody needs to try a French crepe, like, yes, from France, because it's delicious.
It's always been my dream to go to Paris, so.
Oh, it's a great thing. And they showed us the castle. Like, it was, you can imagine this big place being furnished with Roman furniture, Roman statues. Now it's like a little bare, but you can just be in there and you could feel that, you know, people, holy people were in there. And out of the corner of my eye, I see a little bust or a little picture of St. Catherine of Siena. And I just wept. I was like, oh my gosh, what a saint. She's so amazing. And one of my dreams is to actually go into her, to where she's resting. But the fact that it connects me back to my parish and those times where I took a break and you know, just was in that church community, that church family that I have. And it's grown so much, thank God, that I've learned so much from just my local parish. And I feel that St. Catherine of Siena definitely helped me with that. So I always pray to her.
I have a question. How did St. Catherine of Siena become a saint?
Well, she was very famous, remember, in her own lifetime. She was famous. She was famous because of, you know, her gifts of prayer and also the miracles that occurred when people asked her to pray. She led a short life, but a very mystical life, and, you know, many powerful things and many revelations were given to her. You know, she was almost, in those days, it wasn't the long, drawn-out academic process of gathering loads of information that would take years. It was more by the spontaneous acclamation of the people. And then they would go to the bishops, and they would go to the pope, and it would only take a short amount of time at that time. Now average takes at least 20 or 25 years of work before the church actually canonizes somebody. But no, Saint Catherine is one of the patrons of Italy with Saint Francis. Okay, and you can see her house, actually the room she prayed in. They rebuilt the place, but if you go to Siena, which is extremely beautiful too, and you should see it. But one of her aims was to get the popes to leave Avignon, where you were, mm-hmm. and get back to Rome, where they belonged. There was too much influence. The French government, the French kings, had too much influence over the papacy at that mm-hmm. time, so they had to get them back. But in the meantime, they built that beautiful palace that you saw anyway, so you got into the history of it. But I just want to say, you know, get us back to confession again, okay? You know, I just want to read a little bit from Matthew Kelly, because, sure. you know, he's a young man who drifted away from the church also, and then came back with both, you know, both barrels blazing, so to speak, yes. you know, at returning and did so many wonderful things. And his idea of giving out these inexpensive books, selling these books, his books for $1 on newsprint, you know, cheap paper, so that the churches can buy a lot of them and give them to everybody, is a terrific idea. And I've done it a couple of times. But I just want to give you this little thing about confession and why ultimately it is important, okay?
My mom has a lot of Matthew Kelly CDs.
She has them.
Kitchen.
Oh my gosh! Yes, it's really
a lot of them.
It's her favorite. Right?
I am a sinner. I am a sinner. Let's just say, every day I find myself doing things that are self-destructive and make me a lesser person. I say things that hurt others, or I hurt others by not saying anything. When that happens, you can be sure the things I am thinking are giving birth to those words and actions. These are the thoughts and words and actions that deviate from the natural order and separate me from the peace of knowing that I'm contributing positively to the common good of the unfolding universe. The strange thing is, deep within, I don't want to think, say, or do these things. I don't want to be that lesser person. I want to be the best version of myself. I want to live by contributing to other people's happiness, not to their misery. In each moment of each day, I find myself caught in a struggle and are divided. No different from you, I find myself experiencing what Paul said, the good that I would do, I do not do. The evil that I would not do, which I do. I am a sinner, and I need to be saved. I need to be saved from myself and from my sin. There are many people who love me deeply, parents, siblings, friends, colleagues, neighbors, but they cannot save me. I need a Savior. It is the clarity of this realization that is life-changing. That is what makes me eligible for membership in the Catholic Church. Jesus didn't come to come for the healthy. He came for the sick, and he established the church to continue the work. I am imperfect, but I am capable of change and growth. We are all imperfect, but perfectible. The church holds me in my weakness, comforts me in my limitations, endeavors to heal me in my sickness, and nurtures me back to full health, making me whole again. And throughout the process, the church manages to harness all my efforts and struggles, not only for my own good, but for the good of the entire church and indeed all humanity. This is just a tiny part of the incredible mystery of the church. So you see what a wonderful little section that is. There's loads of other good stuff in this book, Rediscover Catholicism. And if anybody calls in, we'll see that you get a copy. Okay, I'll get some extra copies and get them out to you. If you give us a call and you want one, if it's not in your parish, we'll get it for you.
Yes.
Those are very powerful words.
Well, thank you, Amanda. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What did anything strike you? What did you like anything in particular that touched you?
Well, basically that everyone will be by your side and that they will never leave you and that you'll always be with God. Mm. And he's never leaving your side.
Amen. Yeah.
Through
the church.
Even if you feel like you've fallen, just get back up and keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, go ahead, Father.
No, I said that's really great, Amanda. I'm glad that you said, even if you've fallen, you just get right back up again, right? That's the kind of thing. We trust God to help us stand up straight again, even though we slipped and fell. Okay,
amen.
That's a great, that they're always talking about that as an image of sin, falling. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to trip and fall and hurt themselves. But the thing is not to stay on the ground. It's to get back up again as fast as you can with God's help.
It's like Jesus has fallen 3 times on the cross from the weight of our sins. He just got right back up and kept going.
That's right. Yes, he did. Thank you for that point.
That shows us how much he loves us, right?
Yes. He'll never leave your side.
Thank you.
Aw, thank you, Amanda.
You're welcome.
That also reminded me, the passage that you read, Father, reminded me of the sacraments. I know we were talking about baptism and communion and confirmation. I think it summed it up really beautifully in that little snippet right there.
What touched me mostly is the phrase becoming the best version of yourself. Yes, and Matthew Kelly definitely talks a lot about that in all his books and all his talks.
That's a favorite phrase of his, the best version.
And I feel that to become the best version of yourself, you need a coach. And who is the best coach out there is Jesus Christ, you know? And sometimes it's great that you can pray and talk to Jesus in the quietness and stillness of wherever your comfort zone is. But at the same time, you need that I don't want to say negative, but it's a positive criticism. I like to say, to direct you into the best version of yourself. And that is what confession is to me, is that when you feel that you're down and out and you have all these things that are built up inside you from your everyday life, you know, to always rise to become the best version of yourself, you need that coaching. And what is a better way for that coaching is confession. You know, he always also says that there's genius in Catholicism, and everything that the Catholic Church is all about is creating the best version of who you are, not the best version of somebody else. It's who God created you to be, and it's between you and God. And yes, God puts people in your path to help you become that best version.
Yes.
But it's between you and God. God is your coach, and it's all you can do is go to him.
It's like a sport where, like, you have a coach, and they mold you and make you to be the best player that they know that you can be.
That's right, Amanda. Oh, that's awesome. Bringing that coaching reference. That's awesome. Yeah.
The priest serves as a coach in confession.
Yes.
Yes, he gives advice. Also, people have sometimes what they call a spiritual director. Not everybody can have one, perhaps for their entire life, but sometimes, you know, seeking one out is a good move for people, you know, who are serious about following the Lord, you know. And so I would just really, really just say that, yes, we're really touching on some very good, very, very good topics here, you know, very, very good topics. So let's keep going.
Katharina has a spiritual director, and she was actually talking to her this morning.
Yes, I was, actually. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Barbara Campbell is my spiritual director.
And co-host sometimes.
And co-host, yes. And it's just such a blessing in my life, personally, having a spiritual director. It's that person you can talk to and let them know what's going on in your faith life. And they can help you and guide you because they have more experience. And she's a Bible study teacher as well. She can just guide me and is older than me and is more wise. So it's wonderful having that person.
I remember asking you last night. I think it was last night. Asking you, like, how many clients does Barbara have? And you're like, more than 20.
Yeah.
And I was like, that'll be great. That's great. Because, like, in my room, I call it my, like, little salon.
Little salon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do, like, hair and makeup. And I was like, that'll be great for business.
Oh, well. I can't. You're funny, Amanda. I appreciate you being here right now.
That's right.
That's what kids are about.
Yes, you can use your passion and, you know, just keep that going, and God will use.
Yeah. Art is my passion.
Your gift. And do we have a call in or no? No. Okay.
Well, definitely, yes. God uses that passion in our everyday life. Because, you know, who knows us better than God? And if a spiritual coach does help you, or anybody actually who's in your life
can help you, do
can help you
achieve whatever you want.
Yes.
Not achieve, but understand who you are too. And I feel also that, you know, it can be like very gratifying, but I also have to put in my mind that everyone has their own cross to bear. You know, I definitely had to go to confession before I came here, and because I have my own crosses to bear. And I felt that, you know, I cannot be a helpful person if I don't have Jesus in my life. And I thank God every day that I have multiple churches around my area that has that open to me. And today is the first Saturday, and a lot of parishes have separate times, and I always go on my Mass app. I don't know if anybody knows this, but there's an app for everything, and there's definitely a Mass app out there.
Can you tell us what it is?
Okay.
I know that there's a couple of apps for the iPhone that helps us. There's the Laudate.
What?
Right?
What's that?
it's a yellow app. I can show you. It could bring up the daily readings of the day.
Yeah,
saints.
That's what that funny app is.
How to pray, different things.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. It was just one click of a button. If you forget your Magnificat or prayer, any books, you could just touch that on your phone, and
it comes. Wow,
it brings it up.
Yeah.
What else,
Matt? I have the app called Mass Times, and it tells you, it asks you, like, oh, do you want a Mass anywhere in your area? And they would tell you. Definitely one of the things that I do is if I am traveling, because I like to travel a lot, I would bring that up, and I was like, all right, I need some quiet time, and it's hard to find quiet time nowadays. So I would always go to a local parish, and those that mass time tells me the closest parish I have and where is the mass times that they have. Okay. And even if you can go on, they also write down the confession times of that parish. And I also have the Laudate app, which is a yellow app, which I use for the daily readings. I've always, in every reading and video and CD that I have, they always tell you that you have to, you know, read the Word of God. And me, a person who's like super busy, I don't have that time, and I don't really have that luxury to go to daily mass, which is an amazing thing. If you guys don't know it, that Catholic Church has a daily mass, and they have specific readings for that day. And it always surprises me that whatever the reading is, or whatever the reflection is, or the homily is, I've had a homily that was like one sentence from my Monsignor, and it was just like, that was amazing.
You were thinking about it all day.
I was thinking about it all day. It helped me through all the crosses that I had to bear that day. It was just amazing. And it really has that intimate moment. But I don't have that time all the time anymore. So I go on the Laudate app. They direct me to the United States Bishop.
Yeah, Conference of Bishops. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. That. And they would always have that reading. And it's always a surprise and thankful that I have that luxury to take 5-10 minutes out of my day, read that, reflect on it, and just be consumed and blessed with the strength of the Holy Spirit, that I can take on whatever the world is giving me right now.
That's what Barbara came on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she said it doesn't have to be super long with the Lord. Even if you have 5 minutes in the morning, have your cup of coffee or breakfast, just take out a passage from the Bible, and you'll just be able to have that.
It's like one time when Saverio came on, mm-hmm. it was my first time coming on to the show, and he said, even if you say not even one decade of the rosary, it's like you go to, like, it's hard to explain, because, like,
you say a lot, even
yeah, you say
whatever
a lot.
You can is enough. Like, yeah. it's better than
it's
nothing.
It's like you go, even if you're in a really busy place, like, if you just say one decade of the rosary, you don't even have to say 10, at least 5 Hail Marys, it can like calm you down. It can help you.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it doesn't even, you don't have to go all the way to Jesus. You can go to Mary. Sometimes it's hard to go to Jesus all the time. So the Blessed Mother is always there. I remember in World Youth Day when we were doing our walk to go to adoration.
Is this Poland?
In
or
Poland.
Okay.
This Poland.
This past summer.
I remember
summer.
One of the men of God that I was talking to, all he could repeat was, Hail Mary, full of grace. Hail Mary, full of grace. Throughout the entire, that's 7 miles one way. Miles.
When wow. we were at the vigil for the Pope, was
yes.
that walk?
That
okay.
walk, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that is the most amazing thing about being a Catholic, is that there's some days where there's a struggle, and there's always a window to go through, and yeah. the Blessed Mother always opens a window, right? Right,
sure. Father? One of the things we should just mention, of course, is that Matthew Kelly is talking about a lot of the confusion that Catholics are in, and they wonder about the relevance of the Church. And, of course, his big point is that the purpose and plan of God is to help us become holy.
Yes.
That's really the goal of Catholicism. But then, of course, a lot of people have a stilted or a narrow version of holiness, praying all the time, you know, feats of fasting, or, you know, engaged in spiritual exercises all the time. So that's where he creates the phrase, the best version of yourself. Yes. In other words, that's where a spiritual director can help you achieve the kind of holiness, the kind of closeness, the kind of relationship with God, the kind of presence to God and God that you can manage with your own personality, energy level, age, and contacts. Okay, you know, we're meant to be inspired by the saints, not necessarily to imitate them, you know, exactly as they did. So particularly a saint like Saint Francis, hopefully he'll be an inspiration. Some of the things he did, we wouldn't do. All right, we don't have to do them, but we're blessed if we learn from him and try to become the best version of ourselves, which would include, if you think about Francis, that would be a lot of joy too.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
That's really powerful what you just said.
Yes. Uh-huh. It reminded me. Listeners, if you want a free book, just text us.
call us.
Yeah.
Call in.
This
text.
Is so exciting. I mean, I know I would love something for free.
I was just thinking as you were saying that my dad has one of those books. And I was like, Dad, one day, I said, I was really little. I was like, about like 4 or 5, and I was like, Daddy, what book is that? And he was like, it's a book by Matthew Kelly. And then now I know what it is.
Now you know what it is. Now you know what he's all about.
Yes.
That's right. Now you see it.
And the text in number is 516-784-6081, or the call in number again is 631-888-8811.
We got 5 minutes, so come on, call in.
Yes, yes, amen. And
I wanted to tell you too. Like Matthew Kelly is the most recent person that I've read, but I got into the Catholic Church because of Dr. Scott Hahn, because I'm an engineer. I just graduated from SUNY Maritime College last year.
Woo! An electrical engineer. Right.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess in my head I always just think of mechanical first. That's why I have to.
I love science and engineering and art.
And
so
Dr. Scott Hahn and his wife Kimberly Hahn was very helpful in helping me understand the Catholic Church, because I had all these scientific like ideas. And I was like, no one is going to be like that. Like, it's all about love. And I'm just like, give me the facts. And you know what? Uh-huh. Jesus heard my prayer and put my mom, like, slipped a Dr. Scott Hahn CD from me. And it was, like, amazing. Like, he just broke it down. And he helped me, like, understand the Bible, you know. I feel that if I don't go to the Bible first, when I go to confession, I feel that I don't have that organization in my head that helps me to really think about like what is going on in my heart and in my mind, so I can be the best version of myself. And one of the things is that the Bible is Jesus, is the Holy Spirit talking to you specifically of who you are. And I definitely have been practicing to just open my Bible and say, God, what is your word for me today? You know, and that is just one of those things that that helps me, you know, go to confession, give me the strength to take out all of my insecurities in my life, to be with God and say, yes, I am a sinner, I have sinned, but I know that you can help me with my brokenness.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very good. Beautiful.
I just want to say, we got 2 texts then, and
oh, yay! Oh,
five minutes? Okay. We have 5 minutes. Okay. Awesome.
Let's read these texts.
Yeah. So one listener says, I would like a book. So yay, of course.
Yay, we got one request for a book.
Yes. And the other text was, can you repeat the name of the Mass app, France, and where we can get it? What does it look like?
Was it free or?
Yeah, it is free. It's called Mass Times.
Okay.
And it's a blue app with the cross and an M. See, it's right there.
Let me take all.
Like, let me.
It's okay. My phone died, so it's okay. It has an M and a cross on it.
It's an M and a cross.
And it says Mass Times,
and
it's free.
And it says Mass Times, and it's free. You could go to the app, download it on any phone
either
you have.
Android or iPhone.
Android or iPhone, yep. And also, I would also recommend the Laudate app. And if one of the things in World Youth Day, Poland, that they were talking about is the Ducat app.
What's a Ducat? What's the Ducat app?
Oh, the Ducat app is one of the things that Pope Francis helps. And it's geared towards young people, but also I've seen a lot of adults use it, and it helps you understand what the catechist is in a shorter version and what you can do in your local community to change your environment and hopefully change the world. You know, one of the things that Matthew Kelly's stories is that you have to read it, but it's Matthew Kelly's, one of his stories, that if you get the man right, you get the world right.
If you get the mantra?
The man, the person right.
Oh.
And within yourself, you get the world right.
Oh.
And you have to go to Matthew Kelly's CDs to listen to that story, but that's an amazing story. But yeah, so the Ducat, but the Ducat app.
Thank you. I learned so many apps today. And thank you so much, listeners. We're going to wrap up here.
Thanks for listening.
God bless you all.
God bless you. Thank you, Fran.
Thank you. And make sure to listen next week because I'll be back on.
Yes. Have a blessed weekend and thank you for everything.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, the Spirit of sweet Jesus flows as a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Well,